Well, look at that. It's another season of UND football, and it feels like a long time since we've played a game, as a lot has happened since the last game of the 2024 season. But it's Tank McNamara, Kelly Howe, again here for another season of UND Football 360. And let me just say, hey, we've been busy here the last couple months getting things ready, but not only is it a new season, but Kelly, congratulations. Hall of Fame. The induction's coming up here in a couple weeks, so the fans are excited. You put your heart and soul into your playing career, and you've been doing it here with the podcast the last, 90 years?
Yeah.
It's been 100 years since you were...
is it going on 15 now?
15 years since you last put pads on?
Yeah, no, 15 since we started this podcast. Since I played, yeah.
20 years?
Yeah, but it's a long time. And yeah, it was a heck of an honor. You don't even think about it. And then Bubba was the one who actually called me to tell me, so that was cool. You know, obviously my position coach. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun. Valpo weekend, I think Friday night we have the banquet. And then Saturday, just, tailgating, go to the game, fun little thing, get introduced on the field quick. But, yeah, most of it's Friday night. So it'll be a fun weekend, have my family up there and stuff. So, yeah, I obviously Grand Forks and UND was a big part of my life.
Yeah, so that's cool. So now we can get that out of the way and never have to talk about it again. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep, that's right.
is it just me or does it? We haven't talked about this. Does it feel like it's been a long time since we've played a game with everything that's happened since that last game?
Well, with UND's program, yeah, with all the changes. And we've done, I don't know how many podcasts we've done. And, you've been coming up with ideas and cutting new podcasts and getting coaches on. And, yeah, it seems, we're finally doing one for football, a game.
Yeah.
What the whole thing's built around. And, yeah, it's kind of turned into an off-season UND Football 360 program for a long time there. So, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, we're back. And I know it feels – I like that week zero went last weekend, kind of give everyone a taste, I guess. And then tomorrow night, Thursday night, there'll be a bunch of games across the country. So that'll be fun.
We'll dive into the scoreboard here a little bit. But, we've hit on the facilities. We've hit on the nutrition. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to some of the older podcasts we've done here in the last couple of months. There's some good stuff there, especially if you want to learn about this new defense. We broke down every position, and it's cool to go up there and see it. But what impresses you the most since Eric Schmidt has stepped on campus at UND?
I would say the attention to detail. We all know what's in front of us and you see that, but then the attention to detail that he has and the staff has, and now, the athletic department is getting there with all their, when you're walking through those facilities, it's the walls and the coloring, and they took time to think about all this. And then that kind of blends in with the football program, the way he runs the program, everything, with the nutrition and all that, it's all kind of calculated out, it's all slotted out, and doesn't seem like they're overlooking much. I'm sure they're figuring out what they're missing, but we don't know, so it's just, I would say, the attention to detail these days, and just the way the players, what they're wearing, just things like that. It's all been thought out, it's all calculated, and now we got to see it transfer to the field.
Yeah, it is impressive. I'm sure there'll be times where you get to see more of some of these facilities because, like I said, at Coach Schmidt's introductory press conference, we've been talking about these facilities for 25, 30 years. I mean, serious talks.
Oh,
hey, we get close. So we got this right donor that's going to
took a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep. It did. So thank you to all the sponsors up there because we've been up there numerous times now. We've seen practice in action. We've seen the facilities work. The players love it. And I think it's cool that there were players in that cold spell in January that with their online classes now, they don't even have to walk outside. And there's a lot of ground to cover, too, inside with that new skyway that's going to the new facility across. There's going to be many opportunities for athletes to stay right in that village. Well, week zero, what did you learn about FCS football last week, Kelly, as we take a look at some of these scores from around the country?
Well, there's five. Look, there was five games last weekend, so that was kind of fun to watch some of them. Well, we learned Incarnate Word is not the offensive juggernaut that they were in the past. Wow. You know, they were 13.5-point favorites, went down to Nichols, who we've been to Nichols before. Nichols, you know, was supposed to be all right this year. Incarnate Word, we just assumed, was the same as they've always been, high-octane offense. But 20-6, Nichols. And just shut them down. And that was, I think that sent some shockwaves around the country with, you want to talk about the transfer portal and changes to programs and all that? Well, I think Incarnate Word is your poster boy for that, because they lost a lot, but I thought they replaced a lot too from what I read, and apparently it's not the same. So that's, I think it's going to take, honestly, I think it's going to take 3 weeks. 3-4 weeks for anyone to know what they have because of this transfer portal thing. Before, we could come into the year and kind of guess, you know, we'd be 90% right, 80% right on who's good, who isn't, who's, but I don't know. After that result, and then Idaho State, UNLV was a 30-point favorite at one point. I think it got bet up to like 36. Well, they were winning 10-0 after the end of the first quarter. They end up losing 38-31, but they had every chance to win that game. I mean, that's just bizarre. You know, UNLV was good last year, too, and they were supposed to be good. So I don't know. I mean, we just go – it was crazy. Well, and the next game, Tarleton State went into Portland and just whacked them 42-0. We got Portland coming in our home opener, what, next week, I believe? Yeah, we got Portland State as the home opener. So,
yeah. 6 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, night one. Everyone all lubed up, ready to go. Yeah, so –
I'm guessing
42-0 tank at home opener.
That should be a W. Should
it better be? It better be a W. I mean, there you never know what you get with big sky teams, but when it's 42-0, you should kind of know what we're gonna get in that one.
So and we're playing
that
at
was
home.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. So, and then there was a MEAC versus SWAC. North Carolina Central beats Southern, which we don't see those teams much. But the weird one was Davis and Mercer. They were in the kickoff classic and got canceled due to the weather. Tight game.
In
Mercer
the fourth
was
quarter,
driving.
Right?
Yeah, tight game. And
UC Davis had an early lead, right?
Yep, and, had an early lead. Mercer came back. That was a good game, good football game. But then it got canceled, so it's a no contest. That's brutal for those teams because – the winner, that would have been great for their playoff resume. So now, I don't know, I suppose they're just down to 11, 12-game season, so they'll only get 11, which is all right, too. But, yeah, now coming up, I think tomorrow night, ton of games.
Oh, yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're recording this here Wednesday afternoon. Should mention head coach Eric Schmidt going to join us here in the podcast today. So that'll be coming up. Yep. It's good to see three – full days of FCS football and college football in general. It's going to be great to enjoy this Labor Day weekend with some football. Let's take a look at this roster a little bit, because not only have guys changed numbers, but wow, there's a lot of new guys, new faces around, coaches, players. It's kind of a like that old Twins campaign, get to know them a little bit. Especially, it was weird walking around with the coaches earlier this off season, and it was like, I don't know who any of these guys are, you know. Wasn't a lot of them, but the guys we've gotten to know, great guys. The players seem to like them when we visited with them, so it just seems like there's a good vibe in this program right now. But we haven't played a game yet, as we like to say. But let's talk about the starting quarterback. Let's just get that out of the way. We had all three of those quarterbacks on. Even though the starter's been named, I say go back and listen to that, because what three fine guys to have in the program. They were pretty supportive of each other. You can tell they are team first type guys. You know, they all want the ball, but were you surprised at all?
I don't think
so. Jerry's going to take the ball?
Well, we knew Jerry played well in spring. And then so, you know, they don't know what they're going to get, but they knew Javance was new. So, you know, they brought Javance in to try to win the job. They knew Jerry had a chance to win the job, and, you know, Simon was a returning starter, but he was hurt in the spring. So it's kind of a unique situation. I wasn't surprised as much because we heard how good you know, Jerry was playing. Not, you know, I don't think it wasn't superstar level where it was clear cut, but it was significant to where when he, you know, the huddle respected him in and out of the huddle, everything was crisp, you know, and they liked the way he led the team. So, yeah, I mean, when you hear that kind of stuff, you're thinking, okay, yeah, and then he's got good accuracy, which accuracy was a big one in this. So, yeah, I think they'll both play. We talked about this many times. There's no way you just sit Javance if it's that close, and he's a different body type. Now, if they're both 6'1", 6'2", 200, and they look the same and they play the same, well, then they probably just go with one of them, you know, type of thing. But Javance brings a different skill set, different body size, body type, different mentality. So you can play him and get the look you want while playing Jerry too. So I think it'll work itself out.
So without really knowing, and you know, they were kind of all rotating when we've been up there because they had no clue. I mean, right. they really waited till the very end to make this decision. But do you think they'll change mid-series at all, or will it be, hey, this is your series, or this is your half, or will we see this going in and out during a series?
Mid-series,
and are you a fan of that?
I don't mind it as much. I don't want to see them flip-flopping every drive That's like literally playing two quarterbacks and not. I think it's. I could see actually when I'm thinking back, I could see mid-series. I mean, back a couple of years ago, Simon came in and ran some stuff just because they got down inside the 20, let's say.
Maybe for one play.
In, run a play, and if it goes well, keep him in there. You run Jerry in, keep Javance in there. One of them flexes out to wide receiver. Yeah, I could see him changing it up depending on down and just, well, when cute Quincy would come in, you know, and run a sneak or something like
that. We all knew where the ball was going.
Yeah, so.
But stop it, right?
Right. So that's where nobody quite knows. That's the intriguing part of this. Watch the game, I guess. You know, the coaches say, watch the game if you want to know what we're going to do. I don't know if they even know how it's going to go, but I think it seems like Isaac Frickley coaches according to feel.
Yeah.
You know, he's standing on the sideline, and he has his guys next to him calling in the plays. Now they got the headset, so they're doing that. They're calling in plays and using the headset, Mike. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, nobody quite knows. All we can do is speculate and smile and have fun with it.
And we asked Simon if he was going to be the new Quincy, and they said the guys were joking around. He'll go under the offensive lineman, right? Like I said, that room has some great, great people in it, and it was a fun interview. So go back and listen to that. Offensive line, there's really no surprises. I think what I've been hearing in camp is we're building some really nice depth along the offensive line. It's just not the guys that are on the first line here.
Yeah, starting from left to right, Thaden, Beecher, Buxa, Olson, Anderson, that's what we thought. Yep, none of them have gotten injured. Should be okay. You know, I want pass protection. We want to be a little bit better this year. This game's going to be tough, and we'll get into that later. But, those are the guys we thought were going to be the starters, the backups. I mean, Gorder and Teeter, you know, Teeter played a little bit. Gorder played a lot, so that would help there. But some inexperienced backups behind them. So now they got O-linemen on the roster, yes. But, you know, if somebody gets injured, they don't have 10 that have played. They probably got about 7 or 8.
But so, it sounds like they're pretty happy with where that room is, right?
I mean, so. Yeah. Yep. It can always be better, but I think they like where they're at. And they got the depth, too, for scout team. That's the key.
Yeah. So. Would you say I'm being ridiculous if I said it'll take a couple weeks to figure out this wide receiver group?
No, yeah, at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, who's really going to be the guys?
I was on KSU podcast last night, and they asked about the wide receiver room. I don't really know, guys. I go, if you guys play man, if they play cover one, we might have a little trouble separating, you know, against a Big 12 DBs type of thing, because we just don't know what the separation ability is of these guys yet. So I don't know, Tank. Yeah, I think we're going to have to watch this one, and that'll give us a little indicator, not as much, but it'll give us an indicator of who can do what. And then next week, you know, you get Portland State at home. They should throw some, you know, in that one. And then, yeah, I think it'll take a while because we just don't know yet. You know, Fleming's supposed to be one of their guys, the transfer from Northern Arizona. Dang, dang. You know, we know what we got there. Caden Dennis is a senior. Corey Ty, you know, he's the smaller slot guy. And then you got more, you know, DeMontanac, he's a senior. Hoskins is the short, quick guy. You know, we got body types this year, much different body types than we've had in the past. We got all ranges now. But who can make plays? Who can make plays downfield is the biggest thing.
And that is something Coach Schmidt has not shied away from. There's probably 5 to 10 times he's looking to get downfield a game.
Yeah.
At minimum, right? You know?
You should want to.
Yeah, pound the ball and then take advantage of your opportunities. So, it just seemed like when we've watched spring and practice now in the fall, everyone got an opportunity, and especially the quarterbacks, you know, they gave everyone the greatest shot they could. So it'll be interesting to see who really stands out here in the first couple weeks. I think that's my kind of position to watch.
Really
see who's going to flourish, because there's a lot of, like you said, a different athletic type of build out there now. Running back, that's just a good, solid position. And, you know, the transfer, Xavier Lee, Lee? Did I pronounce that right?
Nah, I think so.
I haven't gone through my pronunciation yet. But, boy, from the start of fall camp to now, just good things about this guy.
Yeah, I've heard real good things. And this room's going to be three deep again. And they're going to play all three. Like I said last night on the podcast, I said, well, remember that game last year where we ran all three of them ran 12 times or something?
Yeah.
Completely even carries. And they didn't even know they were doing it. They just kept shuffling them in and out. And now it's just different, three different guys. So it'll be Seidel, Lee, and Zbarth. You know, Zbarth will be the warhorse on the inside. Seidel will be running left to right, you know, trying to make big plays. Lee kind of does it all. He's all right. He's a Swiss Army knife guy. They like him. Great attitude. Good kid. So
Senior, right?
Yep, senior. Yeah, so fifth year, I think. So what you're going to see all three of them, as long as they're healthy, every game. They'll never wear out any of their running backs, put it that way.
Gavin Zbarth, I think I say it every time we stand next to that guy. I'm like, look at his legs.
Yeah.
Jeez, they're huge.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some good sized thighs.
I can imagine
he slimmed down a little bit.
Wrapping him up, you know, I trucked right through him. So, defensive side of the ball, what do you think? What do you think of the new 4-2-4-2-5 that you've seen so far?
I don't know anything about a tank. It's different. I don't quite know what they're doing yet, you know, why they do what they do with that Rover nickel position. I don't, you know, it's just unique. So I got to watch a game again and try to pick out who's their guy with their Rover. You know, Zach Lewis and Jai Martin are the safeties. And then Wiltshire, you know, would be the guy who would be roaming around out there. So you see number three, Wiltshire, watch him. I don't see what he's doing with him. He could be up on the line. He could be back. That's where nobody quite knows how this works yet and why they're doing what they're doing versus what packages. So once again, just another reason to tune in. I mean, we like it. Everyone wanted a change, right?
Yeah.
They wanted the, you know, 3-4 run its course. I think Coach Schmidt knew that it had run its course, even though he was a 3-4 guy. And so he brought the 4-2-5 with him. And now it's just kind of once again, let's watch a game. Let's see what happens. Watch a few games and try to get a feel for how much pressure they bring. You know, because in the past, UND, people acted like they brought a lot of pressure, but they didn't. Sometimes they would just kind of move a lot up front, but it would still be 4 or 5 guys coming.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same thing. It'll always be 4, maybe a 5th guy coming is all it is. And then, you know.
Sounds like you can do a lot of different things, disguise a lot of things where really it makes a quarterback think even up to when the ball is snapped, because you still don't really have a good idea, and it can change week to week. It's a pretty flexible defense to do many things, so that base is going to be fun. Defensive line, I think since the first day of spring ball, I think it's no lie, we need to get bigger up there.
Yeah, yeah, defensive line's thin. It seems like it's real thin.
And healthy.
They've had some injuries. I don't know who's – we'll have to watch the game again, see who actually shows up on the field and who's playing. Yeah, they're thin. They're Rucker brings back some experience. Montre Samuels Parker had some experience from last year. But other than that, there's not much. It's all young or transfers, and we don't quite know what we're getting. But the defensive tackle guys, Olagbaju, the transfer, he's the St. Thomas kid, I believe. Tyler Henry, I don't know, you know, what he's going to be doing these first few weeks. So it's, once again, we look at this thing, and it's going to be, let's just watch the game.
Do you like their size, 275, 295 in the middle right now?
Oh, it's getting there. Yeah, I mean, the 295 is good. You know, I think ideally at the nose and defensive tackle, they would like bigger, taller bodies.
Like a 310, you know. 320.
Well, yeah, or, you know, 6'5". You know, 6'4", 6'5", yeah. 270, 260. You know, they don't have to be 300, but a bigger body who can do some more things. So that's kind of what you saw him. You saw him recruiting was, you know, if they were there, you know, then I guess, you know, like those commits they have now with those Beaver brothers, they're about 6'2", 6'3", but about 280. So there's that body type. So, yeah, I mean, it can be all ranges, but I think they wanted to get longer is what they do want to get in this. And then this year, they got what they got. So we'll just have to watch and see who's healthy and who's out there on the field. I know K-State mentioned in their presser that they're thin at D-line too. So I don't know. Yeah. Everyone's taking a hit there.
The edge rusher position. Well, it's going to be it says here we've got a field edge, defensive tackle, nose, and then the Zeke, which would be that new edge position, right?
Yeah, weak side, side,
go after the rip the quarterback's head off, right?
Yep.
That's going to be Lance Rucker, right?
We need Rucker. If Rucker is getting to the quarterback, things are working because he's kind of got to do it himself. So they'll kick him out to 7-9 and have him come off the edge wide. And he's got to make plays, you know, and that's that guy who's going to play that has to be good. And so they need Rucker to be able to do his own thing out there. If he's not getting in there, if all four of them are getting locked up, then we're in trouble. Yeah.
And this Zeke position, this edge rusher position, has been pretty good in Schmitty's defenses the last couple of years he's been a part of, right?
Yeah, he's found some guys. Washington, I remember they had the guy, he's in the NFL now, but number 9, I think his name, it was kid out of Phoenix. He was good. that guy made some big plays, especially in that, I think it was a Texas game. He was all over the place.
So the field edge and the Zeke, will they be rotating sides, do you believe?
Well, depending where the ball's at, I suppose, and the strength, you know, that type of thing. Yep, so they'll be flipping around. But, yeah, I think I would believe that the name, the way they name it leads me to believe that, you know, type of thing with the strength and where the ball, what hash it's on. But, yeah, they're, you know, looking ahead, you know, the stud position we talked about, that's Wiltshire starting there. That's that nickel. That's, I think, that roving position that's just going to kind of be the third safety.
That's where you can disguise a lot of things, right? That's where you can really kind of mess with a quarterback.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the key. I mean, it's run support too. So you got another guy that can cover but can tackle. He's got to be able to tackle and tackle in space and tackle within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, which is a tougher tackle, you know, type of thing. Guys coming downhill at you, he's got to be able to get people down. So that's one where, you know, you'll see the body type, you know, a little thicker body type on this guy, but he's going to be one of your guys you can count on. You know, not going to be, you don't put a flashy guy who, you know, wants to make interceptions in that position just because that's not what it's about.
Like you?
Yeah. It'd be horrible.
You're back there freezing. Just throw me the ball so I don't have to tackle anyone.
People that don't want to tackle wouldn't be good at that.
Yeah. How about the Sam? Let's go to the Sam. Tell us a little bit about that.
There's the two insides. So there's the two insides. Interesting about that, the Sam and the Will. Payne Parks, Red River product, gets a start. That was kind of a bit of a surprise. Devereaux transferred in. He was at Old Dominion prior. Had a cup of coffee at SEMO, didn't like it, and then transferred out again. But, they have Payne Parks over Devereaux. And then Malachi McNeil, the senior, kind of the leader of the defense. He's starting on the weak side. You know, Ethan Bowl, Crookston product, that's interesting. He's the backup. So, yeah, those four there, yeah, they're going to have to play a lot of downs because there's not a lot of depth at inside linebacker, and they're going to be recruiting to that really hard over the winter season, but those four will be counted on pretty heavy, and I'm interested to see what Parks can do.
Yeah, and then you got two corners, the free safety, and then the rover position.
Yep, now they got the Grant Nolan, freshman, starting at corner tank. True freshman, not just a freshman, true freshman Grant Nolan starting at corner. So that was interesting.
Now, you've played in a defensive secondary. What would that be like to be a true freshman on an island out on the corner in front of 50-some thousand screaming fans of your first series as a collegiate football player?
It'd be tough. Well, I'm sure they've already seen this, so they know, you know, they know what they're going to do. They might not do it the first series, and then but then go after them.
You go after them.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, so I think it was Bishop we had years ago at Nebraska was there, and I think they kind of went after him a little bit when they needed a big play, and knowing, you know, that the opposite side was a veteran. So if you have a veteran on the opposite side, and Bennett Walker from the transfer from San Diego State, senior, who's played in this defense, who are you going to go after? Just for, you know, low-hanging fruit guy to go after. Well, it's going to be the freshman.
So I'm not a genius, but I think I know.
Who. Oh, we'll see. We'll see what they do. It's not doom and gloom. It's just saying, yeah, you want to start a true freshman. You know, everyone knows it, but obviously he's proved something, right? Because he wouldn't be. I mean, they have guys to choose from. I know there's been a few injuries, but he won the job, so let's give him credit. You know, as a true freshman, that's pretty good. And, you know, at safety, Jai Martin, transfer a couple of years ago from West Virginia State. He'll be starting at the free safety. I could see Jet Sutton playing with him. They'll be alternating. I mean, there's no dominant group there. Zach Lewis, the transfer, Northern Arizona kid. He was all-conference for Northern Arizona. He'll be your strong safety type of color rover. Yeah, he'll be that starting there. And then Erkman, he played extensively last year. So Erkman will be in there. All four of those safeties are going to play. I could see him. I mean, you look at this depth chart, you know, if you have 22 guys on there, I could see realistically 20 playing in the game. You know, I mean, they're going to be rotating. You're just not going to stick because there's nothing dead set other than maybe a Rucker or something, you know, in Malachi McNeil.
Will that stud and rover play similar?
Yeah, strength again. You know, I'm guessing once again, we don't quite know how this defense works, but yeah, I would say it's strength and just how they where it is on the field or which hash they're on, that type of thing. Is that we'll just have to watch and see how they move back and forth and where Zach Lewis, for instance, is win the ball to where the ball is on the field.
This is definitely a defense that health is going to be a big key this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a big key.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big key. They've been banged up, Tank, and it'll be interesting. Yeah, but it's fun. It's football season, whatever. I mean, the nice thing about this, I can't sit here and definitively say it. In past years, we could kind of predict, you know, what was going to happen. We kind of knew this year. Offensively, okay, we're going to run the ball. Passing, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Defensively, I don't know what's going to happen at all. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know how much pressure they're going to bring, how many sacks they're going to get. Nothing. That's what makes it fun, though, right?
Yeah, special teams, a lot of Eric thought. A lot of times you don't talk about them until they don't come through for you.
Right.
What do you expect out of this special teams unit this year? I think,
what are they doing? They're bringing three kickers, it looks like. Yeah, because they're having Laughman kick off. And then Elricks, he was a decent kickoff guy, but he'll be their kicker again. I like what Elricks is doing. He's getting better every year. Silvernail's the punter. He was the punter last year. Need a little bit more. I'm going to say it again. I need a little bit more tank. I need it. The best defenses, honestly, have a good punter because the punter drives the other team deep, pins them deep, just, you know, lets the defense have 80, 85 yards to work with.
Yep.
Instead of 65. You know, there's a big difference there. That's two first downs, you know, to where you can force a turnover or you can create havoc. That's two series that just, I don't know. It's, I just want, hopefully Silvernail can, you know, get it going this year and we've always been good inside, you know, with the pooch kicks inside the 20 and 10. That's never been a problem. It's just driving teams deep when we're punting from our own 30, that type of thing. It's just getting into one and flipping the field. That makes a huge difference for a defense. So we'll see. But, yeah, it looks pretty looks pretty steady. Neuberger snapping again. He came back. That was interesting. He entered the portal. And Schmidty must have talked to him, did something to get him to come back. Seidel, Sawyer Seidel listed as a returning kickoff guy. I think that's good. Hoskins, a good return guy. So those two together are electric.
Yeah.
You know, something should happen.
And Hoskins, about my height.
Yeah,
they got him at 5'8", but boy, shifty and can move. He's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, they got Zach Lewis returning punts and Caden Dennis. So that tells me they trust them to catch the ball and then get what you can get type of thing. UND's never been a big punt return team. Never been, put their, like a Hoskins back there, dynamic guy. We're trying to bring this back to the house. Always been kind of a ball control. Catch it, get what you can get, don't turn it over type of thing. So I don't know. It seems like it'd be more of that.
Look who we have. The head football coach of the University of North Dakota football team, the 27th head coach in program history, Eric Schmidt, joins the podcast. Well, Eric, did you feel like this week would ever get here since you were announced the head coach?
Yeah, no, exciting to finally officially be in a game week. And, you know, just for the guys, you can tell, like, their rev levels have gone up here during the week. And it's time for us to, you know, go out and have a test and see if we can go out and play well and do some things that we've talked about here for the last 6.5 months. So excited to see a lot of guys be able to go out there and cut it loose and go have some fun and watch them play.
Well, you've broke in new facilities, you've brought in new players, new coaches, new systems. Going into game week, what has you most excited about this football team since you met these guys 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, I know. I think a lot of things, right? Like, just some of the things that we're doing on defense now, just, you know, watching how all that comes together, some of the new roles that we'll have for guys having – you know, some true edges out there and watching those guys be able to cut it loose and play fast off the edge. Obviously, our inside linebackers with Malachi being in there and then having Payne Parks and Michael Devereaux and Ethan Bull, definitely a mix there of older guys and younger guys and seeing how they perform. And then just seeing how we compete on the edges at safety and corner, I think is going to be something that's really important for us. Like, we got to make sure that that those guys are out there and we're helping them out, but yet that they're competing and matching up with, you know, obviously a really good receiving corps from Kansas State. And then offensively, just how much we've been able to progress, you know, up front, what we're doing there, being able to do some things, with the quarterback position, not only throwing the ball and doing things with Jerry's arm, but also doing some things with his feet too as well. So, it's football, right? Like, it's just going out there and executing our schemes. And it's, you know, I told the guys today, like, hey, like, we put a lot of emphasis in the defense, we call it the cycle of the snap, and being able to get in football condition. Hey, when the play's over, you know, assess the situation, get the communication from the sideline or from the helmet, get it communicated, and then let's do a great job of making sure that that we get dialed up on the other side of the ball and do what we need to be able to see before the ball snapped. And on the offensive side, we call it winning the pre-snap, you know what I mean, too, as well. So just, you know, really tank at the end of the day, it's doing simple better. Like, it's nothing that, you know, that we're going to do that's different than we've been doing here for 6.5 months. It's making sure we go out there and doing it to the best of our ability.
Hey, let's talk K-State, Coach. Specifically offense, you're a defensive coordinator. You've watched quite a bit. What are you seeing from Kansas State? What do you like about what they do on offense? And if you want to, what are you worried about? What do they do that can keep coaches up at night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it starts at the quarterback spot. They got one of the elite quarterbacks in the country. I think to be able to keep him in state and you know, just he's everything that I think that a lot of people thought he was coming out of high school. So, I think it all starts there. Really good decision maker, has a whole year underneath his belt. So the second year of him doing this, he's not a guy that's going to get rattled. You know, he's seen a lot of football and can do a lot of things. Not only, I think, in the throw game and especially like down the field and especially with some of the receivers that that they've been able to add to their roster. That's probably, you know, looking back, the most improvement they've made, I think, looking at the stuff from last year. And then fast forward it to the game, last week, like they really have some some, you know, grade A or you know, grade A body types out there at receiver, guys that are long, guys that are athletic. You know, they can use their bodies, but yet they're nimble enough too as well to be able to run around some people. So that's probably the thing that sticks out the most. And then I just think they're really talented, you know, at running back too as well. So I mean, that presents a lot of challenges just knowing, hey, who's in the game. You know, I think there's some things that they like to do when obviously when there's two running backs in the game compared to, you know, when they're playing with their tight ends in the game, multiple tight ends, but they're just really good on offense. I think they have, you know, each position group, they have playmakers. They're going to always put five threats out on the field. There's not a guy out there that's, you know, there's an extra blocker or a guy that's not going to threaten you, you know, with his athleticism. So I think that's the thing that more than anything else is just, you know, you look at championship offenses and they don't have a guy I think that they put out there that's not a guy that that can't go make a play for him.
Offensively for the Hawks, now the big, you know, the big announcement was Jerry Kaminsky starting at quarterback. Tell us a little bit about Jerry and, you know, what went into that. I know you've spoken to death, so you don't need to really elaborate on it. But, you know, heading in against a K-State team with Javance as the backup, can you divulge how you guys are viewing this thing now that you have, you know, made an announcement, but you haven't, you know, stated exactly how a game's going to go?
Sure. No, I think, you know, I've talked about it a lot. Just the consistency. I think that's something that we've talked about here since day one. We've given guys feedback here, you know, since day one. And I just think day in and day out, you know, Jerry's kept his name at the top of the conversation. And, you know, when you keep coming back to his body of work, I just think it stacked up the best compared to everybody else. Now, we really think that Javance has a lot of talent and think that, you know, we need to continue to develop him and keep him, you know, ready to go every single week, devise some packages for him. There's some plays that he's really good at, you know, that his skill set, you know, is really tailored to. So, yeah, I mean, not to get into all the specifics and all that stuff. I think Jerry won the job because ultimately he was the most consistent. He took care of the football. He made the best decisions. You know, he's, I think, evolved in this offense, you know, being in it the longest and understands the, you know, you need reps at each one of those concepts in order to truly, you know, get a feel for what you're trying to do and why you're running this concept and what it's good against and all those things. And I think Jerry just has more experience, you know, I mean, more confidence, you know, in the system in order to be able to go out there and perform. But, you know, it's, I tell this to all of our players, like, you know, the team that we have right now is a lot different, you know, than the team we had a month ago. I would have never told you Grant Nolan was going to start at quarterback a month ago. And, you know, he's done a great job here in training camp and has an opportunity now to go out there first against Kansas State. So, Javance knows that, hey, this is just the start. He knows that, you know, he still has an opportunity to be able to help our football team win games. And at the same token, you know, Jerry's earned the right to go out there and be the starter and you know, really excited to be able to go out there and watch what he could do. Because I do think, you know, much like Avery Johnson, like Jerry's going to be able to present some problems, not only, you know, with his arm, but being able to get out of trouble and extend plays and then being able to use his feet too as well in some of the design run games. And then also just when he needs to ad lib and scramble and make plays longer back there too as well.
You mentioned Grant Nolan, the true freshman corner that you're going to start. What was that conversation like when you told him? And then give us a little bit about this guy's background and what really went into putting him on the number one part of the depth chart?
Yeah, no, I think it started from day one, really, at training camp. Like, he was noticeable in a lot of the drills. You know, just really has a lot of speed. A guy who has some good length, too, as well. He's over 6 foot tall. So, you know, there's a body type there. He still needs to get stronger yet. You know, that'll come as he, excuse me, progresses through our program. But comes from a, you know, a football family. His grandpa actually coached at UND for a year, and then has coached college football for a long time. He's from Kearney, Missouri, so that's been a program that's really good to us. You know, Theo Grace is his high school teammate, so both of those two guys, you know, being here is awesome. They're both really good players, but it just was one of those things where, hey, man, as you go through the, you know, you go through the evaluation process and you put him in all the different, you know, situations and scenarios. He just excelled at those. And, you know, a little bit, I think, you know, that position will be opposite of Bennett Walker, will be by committee. You know, the other thing, there was an opportunity there. Antonio Blewett was banged up a little bit here in spring and in summer, and then, you know, had a hamstring too as well in training camp. So, so that kind of, you know, made an opening for Grant, and he was able to do a good job of being able to grab that position. So I'm excited for all those guys. You know, like I said, we're going to play multiple corners out there and make sure those guys are fresh. And I think we got, you know, four or five corners that are capable of being in the rotation on Saturday.
We mentioned Nolan getting his red shirt pulled. Well, he has the four games, so you can get a preview. Anyone else that could see the field on Saturday that's brand new to the program, true freshman?
Yeah, yeah. I think Nate at tight end, you know, he's going to probably see the field. You know, has done a really good job. Just athletically is what we're looking for, I think, is a threat to run after the catch. And then Grant, too, as well. Grant Tyluki will be a kid that will play special teams for us, will play a little bit of nickel for us, too, as well. You know, those are three guys right now that I would plan on. You know, they're just guys that have carved out a role for them. There's a need at those positions for us to be able to pull their red shirts, and they're going to help us, you know what I mean, be able to be a good football team. So we're planning all three of those guys playing here this fall.
Hey, before we let you go, Coach, give us a perspective as a new head coach organizing your first road trip and heading down to Kansas State. I mean, you know, I don't know. Is it different than when you were the coordinator? Are you dealing with small little details and little things? Are people calling you now about, you know, the food and the Gatorades and, you know, just things like that? Has it been a different vibe the last few weeks?
We just have a lot of really good, I think, helpers and supporters here. Travis Kalbaugh does a great job. I mean, ultimately, we want this to be, you know, I mean, a business trip. You know, we call it a SWAT team mentality. We're going to get in there later on Friday, you know, and then get out right after the game on Saturday. I mean, everything is devised and planned so that our guys can be relaxed, but they can be focused, you know. And I think you guys remember, you know, I don't want it to be a situation where, you know, you drop a fork in the pregame meal and everybody's, you know, shaken and you know, startled and that kind of stuff. I want guys to feel like, hey, man, like, I'm ready to go. I'm confident. You know what I mean? I'm loose, and yet I can be disciplined, you know, once the game starts. So everything's devised so that, hey, we can go down there and that we can play our best football, you know, for 60 minutes. So, yeah, it's been good. You know, there's always some things that come up with, you know, travel parties and things like that, and making sure that, you know, everybody's in the right room with the right people, that, you know, they have all the right, you know, clothing and travel gear and all those types of things. But we have a bunch of people here that do a great job of being able to help me out there and really, you know, just come in here and advise me more than anything else about, hey, this is taken care of, this is taken care of, like, what do you think about this or about that? And once you've been doing it a long time, I just feel like, hey, it's, you know, it's one, you're really appreciative of the people around you that help you out being able to do it. And two, it becomes, you know, a little bit of old hat. It's just making sure that we put our guys in the best positions to be able to be successful on Saturday night.
The UND Football 360 pregame show is brought to you by Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, Development Homes, Inc., Gaming, Simulcast, Horse Racing, Pull Tabs, Blackjack, and the Pig Wheel, Interstate Industrial, American Solutions for Business. See Tank McNamara at tanklogo.com. And the Kelly Howe Agency of NODAC Insurance. It's time to look ahead to Saturday night. It's the Interstate Industrial 360 game preview. Kansas State, 6 o'clock kickoff. You can hear it all across the Fighting Hawks radio network. And ESPN Plus has the call. Kelly, what are your we've talked a little bit about there's so many question marks going into this game. What's your gut telling you right now about this game?
Well, it's telling me that the fan base is excited, Tank. They're ready to watch football. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I don't think anybody cares. You know, like, in the past, when there's expectations, you care about the outcome. Sure, we want to win. Sure, if we lose, we want it to be on a last-second field goal or something. You know, whatever. Nobody wants to lose badly. Nobody wants. But
oh, you're going to get crap from a lot of people for saying
just,
that.
Well, no, we could win. You know, you want to win. You want to do a lot of things every game. But some years, you just know what the expectation is, defined based on the opponent, based on your team. We don't know what we got. I don't know if Eric Schmidt knows what he has. He's showing up in Manhattan, Kansas with an unknown product. Chris Kleiman doesn't know what Eric Schmidt has because he's never seen. So he's watching San Diego State tape from last year. I guarantee they watched every game of San Diego State's. So that's how they know what UND is going to run. You know, the offense, sure, they know what UND is going to run there. But, yeah, I just honestly, it's just fun. It's fun, new, fresh start. You know, the Eric Schmidt era is underway on Saturday at 6 o'clock against a Big 12 opponent. Let's just have fun with it. Let's enjoy it. We don't know what's going to happen, and I don't really care. I just want to see it. I want to watch. Yeah, how's this offense going to look now? How's this defense? We don't have a clue. You know, what it's going to look like. What do they do? Where do they bring pressure from? How much pressure do we bring? You know, and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's going to be at the end of the game, I think we're going to learn a lot about how it's going to go the rest of the year, at least how it'll look on the field.
And I think the nice thing is the bits we've talked to the coaches is the improvement they've seen. You know, guys are picking it up. Granted, it's still early, but, you know, the cupboard isn't bare going in here. There's guys with a lot of game reps.
Yep, especially on offense. So, yeah, they got some talented pieces. They're, you know, thin at some others, talented at some. Just, you know, kind of a typical year, honestly. It's just there's so much turnover in the program. And the program's just run being completely differently, right, than past years that, yeah, it's just, it's exciting. Let's just, I want the fans to understand that, you know, they need to embrace this and just get ready for next weekend. Sure, this weekend, hey, you're playing Kansas State. Fun. You know, it's awesome. Big 12. But the home opener is next weekend. That's the key. That's going to be a good one.
Looking into this week, yeah, Eric Schmidt, head coach and defensive coordinator. It'll be fun to see how that works and talk to Schmidty afterwards to see, you know, his first time going through this. But I think if the game's close or UND has a shot to win, Isaac Frickte, the offensive coordinator, his game plan could be the MVP of the game.
I think so. Well, just like at
how they run everything.
Run the ball. Yep. Yeah, the blocking schemes up front. Trevor Olsen. You
and
know,
ball control.
Yep, that's the key. And I was on the other night talking about this, and if we can get the plow dropped, like kind of like we did at Iowa State last year, we started to get some traction, 174 yards rushing against them. If we can get it going up front to the point where he can hit some passes in the intermediate game, then run again 30 seconds per play, you know, tick, 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 tick. Just, well, Iowa State last year, we had a 12-minute drive. We only got a field goal out of it, unfortunately, but 12 minutes we had the ball in the second quarter, and that's just crazy. But those are the things that keep you in the game. That's why it was so tight. So, yeah, his game plan and his feel. Now, he's playing two quarterbacks. We've talked about this. His feel for which one and when and what he likes up front and who's moving who up front. All five of the guys aren't going to be kicking ass, okay? One guy, you know, because they got good D linemen. They got some nice pieces up front, Kansas State does. So who's moving who? Which way can we run? Who's getting the most traction? Well, he'll start adjusting accordingly.
Chris Kleiman, no stranger to this area for a lot of people. No. Had a lot of success in the Missouri Valley. From what you've seen from K-State over the last few years, very similar to his programs at NDSU?
I think so in a way. Not, you know.
The footprint is there?
Yeah, I would say the footprint. I mean, discipline, good, solid program. You know, they just look good, represent their school good, win games, you know, type of thing. Yeah. They don't run their offense the same. It's not, you know, nearly the same. Their defense, they run a 4-2-5. It's not, you know, it's not the Tampa 2. So he adjusted there himself a little bit, which is interesting. But, yeah, I think, you know, the footprint's there for where, you know, it's built culture and the love of the university, the love of the program. You know, you love football, you know, that type of thing. He's instilled that in this program. You can tell they went 9-4 last year, won their bowl game, beat Rutgers. They lost a tough one, probably would have vaulted them even higher. But, yeah, returning 13 starters, K-State, you know, they got a chance, you know, this year to be, you know, they expect now, when you talk to their fans, they expect to be 9 wins. Now 10. You know, they want to take that 9-10 vault, whereas we were always 7, right? 7-7-7, while we wanted 8. All fans want 8. We want 9. Well, they're in the same boat. They want to take that next leap and make, is that this year is starting the college playoff? Is it 12 teams this year? I can't remember if it's this year or next year, but 12 now allows more teams in. So they expect to kind of be in that conversation type of thing. You can tell. So he's done a nice job down there. Nobody's surprised. I mean, he's a great guy, well regarded in Fargo. And yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup because, you know, both lines are going to be physical. You know, they're going to hit you. You know, they're going to probably just play well-rounded football.
Yeah, he always had physical teams here. Health is always going to be a factor. Can we get out of this game healthy? But I think that is such a different part of this program, too. The health and nutrition, how they go about their bodies. I think they've seen the results already in fall camp, and they just need some guys to maybe play through a few things. And get that JYD mentality Coach Schmidt talks about, but it's coming. Do you want to do that ugly prediction segment? I hate how you always put me on the spot, but I think we got left, isn't it?
I got a few more notes here, Tank. Do you? I mean, we can go out there. You know,
we'll forget about that part of the program.
Well, predictions in these games, like, I don't know, they're tough, but the key I wrote down is run at them. You know, we've talked about this. Run straight ahead. Okay, because they got edge rushers that are really good. Number 44, that Usen Zami guy, he had 2 sacks in the game, and he is twitchy. But they kick him out there wide and let him kind of tee off, and he has some nice pass rush moves. Well, when you got guys like that, you just run to their side. You run at him. It slows them down immediately because they recognize a run play coming their way, and now they're not the same player. You don't run away from them. You don't avoid them. You don't drop back 7-step break and let them come around the end. You know, you probably have to chip on these guys a little bit, but we just have to get going.
With all three backs?
Yeah, all three.
All three, run them straight ahead?
Yep, all three are going to be playing. Well, Seidel will get him going a little bit differently because he's got a different motor. You know, you're not going to send him through the A's too much, yeah. But, you know, off tackle, sure. Yeah, he can run. But Xavier Lee, the same. They're going to play all three. And all three are going to get plenty of carries, plenty of catches in the screen game. But I think it's a game where you got to hold the ball on offense and you got to keep your defense off the field. Defense is an unknown product. They got playmakers, Kansas State. They got Avery Johnson at quarterback, is a playmaker in himself. The kid can throw it well, but he can run. He ran for 600 yards last year. So he can run. He can take off at any time. You don't want him on the field. We don't want to see him on the field. You want him getting stale on the sideline. And they know that. You know, it's part of the game plan. So quick game, you know, it depends. The quick game for the UND's offense will be interesting because they're going to have trouble. We're going to probably have a little trouble getting separation, I think. It's just they're good. They're good defensively. If they go cover one, you know, man across with a free, it's going to be tight. There are going to be tight windows. So that tells me it's got to be quick stuff where you make one cut, boom, got to hit them to try to move the chains, you know, things like that. Huddle up, 30 seconds, you know, run it up the middle. I mean, it's just got to be methodical in this one. What else do I got? You know, kind of the Iowa State game plan. That's what I wrote in my notes. The Iowa State game plan will work well in this one, in my opinion. Offensively now, ID the pressure. They got a 4-2-5, just like we do, but they bring a fifth. You know, so we would bring a fifth too. Who's the fifth? That's the key in this one for UND. The offensive line and the running back picking up the fifth. Because of that, what we've talked about with UND, right? Who, we don't know who's coming, or the stud, where is he coming from? That third safety? Well, that's their guy too. Where is he coming from?
And didn't they say Xavier Lee, that was pretty well-rounded in pass blocking.
Yep. And that's not easy either. No. Yeah, pass blocking, you see.
They were impressed with him.
When some running backs are bad at it, ooh, it sticks out. They're bad at it. And they can't have him on the field. They only put him on the field in first down, maybe, or something.
Well, you see it in the NFL all the time.
Yep.
You
know? So it's not as easy as you'd think. So, yeah, they'll be playing them all, and I think that's the key. Defensively, but just like Coach Schmidt said, you got to get those running backs down. You know, they got good running backs and they got good wide receivers. And I mean real good, like Big 12 level guys. They're going to use them. So tackling, where's tackling at game one? Nobody knows. Nobody ever knows in the history of football. Game one, you don't know because you don't tackle much, you know. UND's he said they got a little aggressive this year in their scrimmaging. So that might help tackling, but Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's that's another key component. Can we get guys down one-on-one in space? If we don't, well, you know, it's, you know how that goes. It's a long day, and they hit a couple deep balls against Iowa State that kept him in the game. And so it's, we got our hands full. Yes, we got our hands full. But like I said, who cares? Yeah, I mean, we're playing. This is fun.
Yeah.
If we started the football season, yeah, we should have our hands full against the number 17 team in the country, right?
Brand new staff, defense. Are you worried about the guys and how comfortable they are in this defense going into game one?
I am a little bit. I don't know if the staff is.
Where,
I have no
where
idea,
the mind will start maybe overtaking instead of the instinct.
Tick, 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 tick. You know, they break the huddle, and all of a sudden they trade and swap sides with the tight end and fullback. And now the, you know, we got to adjust our call that we had in there. The call stays on, but a different guy's doing it, right? Did that get communicated to everybody in 3 seconds? You know, if one guy didn't get it, you know, I mean, that's, yeah, I'm a little worried about that new, with the new defense. That happens in any defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's something that'll probably pop up. And if you see, you know, a big play happen, it was probably because of something like that. But then that's why you huddle on the sideline, get the headset on, figure it out with the coaches up in the booth.
Because what spot on the defense do you think what has the biggest adjustment in this?
Oh,
guys that have been in the system a few years now.
Jeez, I would say it's got to be the inside linebackers.
Inside linebackers.
Yeah,
because
they're in charge of everything. Yeah, they're in charge of getting everybody set up. Now the D-line is kind of plant. They got to do their thing, but I think they're listening for the call, and they're talking to each other up front about the strength calls and whatnot. But the insides have to get everybody going. They have to get everybody set up, and they need to take a peek and make sure the view looks good for the D, you know, where everybody is, especially with those three safeties, right? I mean, It's tough, and you got a true freshman corner. Somebody's got to be talking to him every play. Make sure he knows what to call. Well, it's true. It's like, yell it again. Just give him a head nod. Yep, yeah, hey, we good over there? Yeah, we're good. All right. Hey. You know, it's just fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. You know, especially if you're Zach Lewis and you played so much in the Big Sky already. I mean, a guy like that, just make sure you're taking care of your corner out there. And it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I've said interesting 100 times, but it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, by quarter, be a fun game.
This is probably a better test for or a better starter for us than one of those Big 12. We're going to throw it 500 times a game and go quick, up-tempo, boom, 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 boom.
We don't want anyone like that because you don't learn anything from that. You're just chasing your tail
this
all game.
This will be a little better for game number one.
A little more methodical. K-State's got the tight ends. They got the fullbacks, you know, kind of like we do, but not they don't run it like we do as deliberate. They're using their weapons and they're spreading you out and they're having, you know, trying to make big plays, big chunk plays, but it'll look similar to our offense, the way they line up. So we got a chance to line up with them. It's just what happens after the ball snap.
Well, you want to do the scores?
Sure.
Should we skip it?
Nah, let's do it. It's got to be realistic. I'm always realistic in these things. So, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know, Tank, what are you thinking?
So many question marks. I think you got to go K-State's favor, and I'm putting a little extra on their side. I don't want to see this, but like a 35-10, I'm thinking.
Right.
I think it might be a little hard at times to put points on the board, and maybe defense might have a hard time flipping the field at times for us. So, I don't think it'll be a long day, you know, one of those, but it'll be hard to control parts of the game.
They're coming back from Ireland. You know, that game against Iowa State that they lost 24-21 was a heartbreaker. They fought to get back in it, then lost end up losing it in the rain. Long flight, long week. Chris Klieman said at his press conference for the first day and a half, whatever, he let him sleep. All they did was sleep. He didn't even ask him to come in. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to get, you know, they're not going to go guns blazing in this one. God, we got to get back on the horse.
Yeah.
50 points are bust. And I don't think it's that mentality. It's come on, win, get back, you know, get back in the good graces, feel better type of thing. And so, yeah, I had it at about 35-14 is what I had.
Wow.
So that's what I said. I think I said 34-14, but 35-14 right in that range. Hopefully, you know, it's just going to be tough. These are always tough. You know, well, Nebraska, a couple of years ago, we were down there and 17-17 at the end of the third, we had a chance and then we gave up a 3rd and 18. I think that hurt and end up slipping away. So we'll see. You know, I think the first quarter, will tell you a lot. They hang around, touchdown game, whatever. It's tight. It's ugly in the first quarter. That's what we want. And then maybe the kids, you know, settle down.
And they just settle, and they settle down playing and say, football.
Oh, okay, breathe, quarter break, go to a commercial, and they kind of look around. All right, we made it through a quarter, and it's not nothing bad happened. Okay, all right, we've arrived type of thing.
Because you redshirted, right?
Yep.
So what was that like, your second year after not playing in a game? You know, some of these guys, like Schmitty said, haven't played in a couple of years, some of them, you know?
Yeah, it'll be different. Yeah, it'll be different for them, especially. That, yeah, take it well then.
To get that feel again.
Yeah, either got to hit someone or get hit to kind of pop the nerves out of you. And that's a saying, but it's real. It's like you kind of shakes you a little bit. All right, okay, let's go. Okay, I didn't get killed. No. I hit somebody. All right, I'm in this thing now. Let's go.
Settle in. It's real. Here we go. Yeah.
So yeah,
do your job.
But it'll be fun. The great atmosphere to start your career. Those true freshmen, even the redshirt freshmen you spoke of. What a fun place to start.
Some guys, their first road trip. Yeah, it'll be pretty cool. So it'll be 6 o'clock Saturday night. Again, you can hear it on the Fighting Hawks radio network, and in Grand Forks as 96.1. I believe 740 The Fan in Fargo will have it, and then just look on fightinghawks.com for all the radio affiliates if you're going to be out and about. Won't be around a TV, but ESPN Plus, so you got to subscribe to that to get that game on Saturday night. And I think ESPN Plus has the Missouri Valley contract again this year.
Yep, correct. And then, I saw they had a new bundle out now, which, I mean, it's getting up there in price. It just keeps going up every year. But they had a new bundle out there with, all the full ESPN packages. You don't need a cable subscription anymore. So now it's just as finally, I mean, it's 2025 and they finally did this. It's a standalone ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, whatever. The whole package plus ESPN Plus, you know, which is huge. And then, Disney and Hulu with it, you know, I think it's $29.99 or something, which if you're going to watch as much football as we are, I'll gladly drop $29.99 plus my kid. They love Disney and stuff like that. So it's like, we've got, it's not bad.
85 streaming services we already pay for. Yeah. I think dad here in our household can get one for the year, can he? Yeah. Well, enjoy it. We'll be back all year long. We want to possibly do some more one-on-one weekly interviews. The coaching staff has been very gracious with us. Great guys, too. Schmitty brought some good dudes in. Excited to get to know these guys better. And they're all hungry and ready to get after it. I like that mentality. So enjoy the game. And show one in the books. And we'll be here all season long as this is your home for Fighting Hawks football.